You're listening to The Point. We are turning our thoughts to gaming now with Chris Boots Faber. He covers games and gamings for the Cape Cod Times. Also works with the gaming industry. What they have you? What do you do?
Technically, I guess you'd describe me as a games journalist because I do reporting and news in on that beat. But I also, for instance, I write walkthrough guides and reference material for gamers to use to play the games that they play because the games are becoming so much more complex. Yeah.
So when I get stuck, I can call you and you can tell me.
Well, not call me, I hope. I mean, you have my number. And,
no, I'm kidding.
But no, you go online, the internet of everything.
Yeah.
And yes, you can go in. They have context searchable documents, and you can find out exactly where you are in the game and what the problem is and how to fix it.
So basically, you get to try out all these games before they hit the market. Is that how it works?
That's pretty accurate, yes.
Yeah. All right, so tell us what's going on. And you've been doing this for a while. There's always some new games, and there's always some controversy in the gaming world. So what's the latest as far as... I mean, there's something going on with microtransaction games. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, especially this time of year, there's always new games. I mean, we're running up to the Christmas season. But as far as the issue of microtransactions in games, and I know that you're familiar with games like Candy Crush and its bazillion sequels, that's a pretty good example of a game with microtransactions. So's Angry Birds.
Basically, you get to a certain level, and if you don't buy whatever you need to get beyond it,
I don't think we should be that cynical.
Okay.
But yes, eventually, in all of those games, you hit what's called a paywall. And you reach a point where strategically, if you're not spending money, you're not making progress. So unfortunately, though, the government is now looking into that because studies have started to fill in the blanks. And it seems that games that utilize heavily microtransaction are essentially targeting and appealing to the same group of consumers that casinos do.
Hmm.
And people who have addictive personalities of that nature find themselves essentially, I hate to use the word victimized, but that's really an accurate description of what's happening.
Mm. All right, so one of the things you were telling me before we came is the video games. Some of these video games that we have the budget of movies, of films.
The industry has changed. 10 years ago, video games was something that your kid did, but no one paid much attention to. Today, it is accurate to say that the games industry is now pulling in more profits than the motion picture industry. And they're spending huge amounts of money producing these games. They're buying the talent they need to make them happen. And when I say that, I don't just mean, Hollywood actors who do the voice work. I mean, they're sniping, I guess is a way to say it, talent from other companies on the technology side of it, to make game engines that work. And to make game content that works. But more important, I think, than that, is they're starting to raid the same pool of talent that the movie studios use for writing scripts.
Wow.
So you see, video games today are more complex, much more entertaining, and deeper than they were. Because the same people who write, essentially, movies are now writing the video games.
And realistic, right? I mean,
oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the new games that are sort of hot now for the holiday season?
Well, Monday, Fallout 4 released. And it would, I think, be fair to characterize that as the most anticipated game of the year. Last month, or a little before that, Forza Motorsport 6 came out. Again, that's obviously the sixth game in the Forza series, and it's a racing simulation, very, very popular, very profitable. And if we look forward, a lot of the IPs that have traditionally held huge audiences are continuing to do so. Some of them are wrapping up. For instance, there's a series called Just Cause that falls into the former category of continuing to feed the audience that it has. And then
so when you say that, when like you're playing this game and you need to go to the next newer and better improve, it's like Bubble Witch 1, Bubble Witch 2, it's like it keeps going in a series with new characters or challenges, whatnot.
Well, I think that what you see, the reality of it is that it's not just new characters or a deeper story. It's also new technology. I hate to focus on one particular game since they're not paying me to do this, but let's take Fallout 4, for example. Now, Fallout 4 is actually the fifth series title in that IP, and it's different. It's very, very different than what came before it in the sense that, for example, while it essentially contains all of the elements that the previous games contained. You play as a protagonist. It's a first or third person experience. You can collect companions, computer controlled companions in the game to adventure along with you. It's a quest oriented game. It's XP oriented, which means you level your character up by doing various tasks to earn XP. But the difference, and I think that this is very typical of the industry, is that they've taken ideas that couldn't really have been done in the last generation, and they've started to really flesh out the game. So I'll give you an example. In Fallout 4, you can create your own community. You can attract computer-controlled NPC characters to it and essentially develop your own mini-economy within the game.
Thank goodness.
Which is good for you, but in addition to that, they've expanded the crafting system in the game. Crafting in video games tends to be find parts X, Y, and Z and go to a crafting station and apply them to your sword, and it's now a Vorpal sword. Mm. Well, that basic concept has been carried very far in this most recent game in the series. And another example would be subcontent in games.
I don't even know how some of these games you're talking about, but I'm sure listeners do. If you're into gaming, you know what these games are. But when you're talking about these sequels, I'm just going back to the movie industry thing. When you have a sequel to a movie, it's usually nowhere near as good as the first one. But with the gaming thing, it's the opposite, right?
It is.
The sequels are better.
With particular genres, they tend to be. With others, not so much. But for instance, with the action-adventure shooter genres, like the Fallout, Call of Duty, that type of thing. Yes, the sequels tend to build momentum and carry it.
Mm. All right, so I'm a dinosaur. I mean, I know a couple of games, but I'm certainly, you know, when the kids say, oh, I want, you know, into Minecraft, which I sort of know a little bit about what it is because I have a couple of nephews who play that. And I think as parents, you always are concerned how much time your kids are spending playing games, and some games are better than others. Minecraft, I understand, is one of the better ones, right? Because your kids are creating things, so it's more than just playing a game.
It's a game that requires you to use your imagination. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a parent looking to some, what are some of the better games that parents might want to know about?
Well, we review games at the Times. We have at the end of every game review, there's a note to the parents to tell them, you know, whether or not this is a game their kid should be playing, and we try to be fair about it. But you take a game like Minecraft. I'd like to say it's a stimulating game because it forces the player to become creative and think outside of the box, and those are the types of games I think that younger gamers should be playing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Chris Boots-Faubert covers games and gaming for the Cape Cod Times. Thanks so much for taking some time to fill us in on what's new.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.